Congratulations to everybody. That's a hell of a win. It was not easy. We knew it wasn't going to be, but we got it. We've won three in a row. We keep the dream alive. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, gentlemen. Here we go, gentlemen. Here we go.
Say it loud.
Let's have a team. One, two, three. Team!
And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and Packers over the next hour. I'm Bob Papa, joined by my Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks, and our protector, Roman Oben. Let's set the stage for you on this week's show. We're going to hear from Giants head coach Tom Coughlin talking about his football team. We'll be joined in studio by Akeem Nicks. And you don't want to miss our Blitz segment. Could a New York Giant be the NFL's comeback player of the year? Also on the show, we've got defensive chemistry. You're going to hear the Giants on the bench during the course of the game. We'll talk about that chemistry on the Giants' defense. Also on the program, our online segment, Tom Rock of Newsday and Tara Sullivan of The Record will join us, and we will have our keys to the game. But to get things started, as we always do on the show, we put 25 seconds on the clock. Item number one, we call it our no huddle. And Harry, I'm going to start with you with the no huddle. You like the direction of this Giants
team.
Well,
after starting 0-6 and now three games in a row where they've won, I like the direction in which this team is going. I still don't like the turnovers. They're unnecessary turnovers. I think that they have to build on this and they have to move forward. It doesn't get any easier for them as we move forward, even though they're playing Green Bay this week and Aaron Rodgers is not there. They cannot take this team or any other team lightly.
All right, and Harry right in on the nose. And later on in the show, Harry's going to talk a little bit about the linebacking position and what makes a great linebacker. You don't want to miss it. All right, Carl Banks, 25 seconds on the clock for you.
Well, I think it really comes down to finding ways to win. Each week it's going to be a different story. You've found that they have some power game going. How do you pass off of that? How do you continue to protect the quarterback but yet get the ball down the field? So I would think they'll find ways to run play action, double moves, things like that, so that the quarterback is not in danger.
Oh, wow. Safely under time for Mr. Banks. And later on in the program, Carl is going to go to the coach's tape in the strategy segment. All right, Roman, you lead the league in turnovers on this show. 25 seconds on the clock for you.
Well, I think it comes back to a belief system, guys. And you look at this team, as ugly as it's been, this team was 0-6 for a reason. You saw some elements of what some of that poor performance last week, but they bounced back from it. And how about this, guys? Defense closing at the end. Offense running the ball 30 times. I mean, that's a winning formula that they should continue on Sunday.
All right. Roman safely under the clock this week. Later in the program, Roman's going to give you his keys to the game. All right. Time to put item number two up on the board. And as always, we have a chance to visit with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. I spoke with him earlier this week about his ball club heading into Green Bay.
The win coming out of the bye. Now you got the Green Bay Packers coming in. Fans, media want to look at it as a three-game homestand. You look at it as it's a one-game homestand. Each week is separate unto itself.
It is, and each game is the most important game of the season for us because of the circumstance we placed ourselves in. And what we're trying to do is keep our dreams alive, you know, one game at a time. Devote all your time and all your energy and preparation for one game at a time. It's now a seven-game schedule, and you know, so here we go.
All right, so you play the Packers, it feels like, every year. You got a game against Green Bay. Unfortunately for you, some of them have been in the postseason. Coordinator's the same, play caller's the same, defensive coach is the same. Even though they're going to have a different quarterback in there, is it pretty much knowing their concepts and studying what they want to do?
Well, you have to be on top of this as we've changed here, you know, from Wallace to Tolzien now. They're running the ball. They've had great success with the big runner. Lacy's done an outstanding job for them. So you know there's going to be more balance. They will feature the run, and they'll throw the play-action pass off of the run, move the quarterback. So it's a little bit different. Rodgers was very, very good, you know, when he ran the ball, pulled the ball down because he's such an exceptional athlete, such a strong arm, but good legs as well. So you do have some differences. You know the concepts. You know what they prefer to do when they can. It's stopping it. That's not easy.
Coach, you always bring tremendous energy, whether the team was 0-6 or whatever the case might be. But with this success, do you get a sense from your team just in the meetings and within the framework of the locker room that there's a little extra hop in their step, knowing that they're starting to at least climb their way back into the equation?
Well, I think that's easy to detect. And most of the time you observe that Wednesday when we come together. They're tired, they're sore, they're appreciative. On Monday, when you win, at this time of the year, it's much more fun than it was at the beginning of the year. So the players understand that to keep it this way is going to take a tremendous amount of work. But it's exciting to be in the hunt or to have a chance, and that's what we are thriving on.
Do you allow yourself to look at the landscape of the division, or is it still too early to start looking at other things?
Yeah, I mean, I keep track of the division. Even tell the players who our divisional opponents are playing that particular weekend, but it's about your team. You got to take care of your own business. You cannot depend on anybody for anything in this business. You've got to do it yourself.
All right, guys, are you believing? Since 1990, 18 teams that have been below 500 through 9 games have made the playoffs, including Washington last year, 3-6. There's been 4 teams that were 3-6 that made the postseason, including Coughlin's 96 Jaguars. Is it too early to start believing, Harry?
No, it's never too early, but, you know, they have to recognize that they have very little room for error. They have to come out with all guns blazing, and they have to play their best ball, and they have to take it one play at a time. And again, when you turn the ball over, you know, it's like you're really creating a bad situation for yourself.
Well, belief is all you got. When the chips are stacked against you, you got to believe because no one else does. But with that belief, there's a responsibility for execution so that you can get to the next phase of it.
Yeah, and you look at the comments, listen to the comments a lot of these players have said after the game. I mean, at no point in time have guys like thrown themselves under the bus, their teammates, coaching staff. I mean, they've really believed in what's going on here, and that at least gives you some indication that they think they can still turn it around. And you have to worry about your business, take care of your job. And Tom Coughlin does a great job of keeping them focused at the task at hand.
You know, it's interesting, too, because when they were 0-6, they were talking about, well, we could still get in the postseason. We got to win all these games. Now that they started to win games, they're not talking about future games.
Right.
They're just talking about the game at hand, which is a good thing. When we come back, Paul Dottino heads to the Giants locker room. You get a chance to talk with Justin Tuck and John Beeson, Eli Manning, Victor Cruz. You'll hear from all those Giants as we return to Giants First and 10 right here on MSG.
You know, guys are willing to pull together and tighten up and kind of, everyone's got each other's back type of mentality. And that's huge for a new guy like myself coming in to have that support of your teammates, because that's ultimately the thing that sticks out to you most. That's most important to me, is that I have the respect of my teammates.
Folks, you're right. That's not Aaron Rodgers. That's Scott Tolzien. He's the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Just a few weeks ago, he was on the practice squad, but with Seneca Wallace getting injured last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, Tolzien stepped in. He threw for 280 yards on 24 of 39 passing with a touchdown and 2 interceptions. Item number 3 goes up on the board as we welcome in Paul Dottino. Had a chance to talk with some of the Giant defensive players about going against an unknown quantity.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Bob, because this is a guy who, while he's in his third year as a pro, he's been with San Diego and San Francisco, and now Green Bay, he seems to have a pretty good grasp of what the Packers want to do. But as far as the Giants' defense is concerned, they don't care who's at the controls. They're preparing for the system.
Coach Mike McCarthy's not going to change much. He didn't change much from what they normally do, even when Seneca got hurt. I thought the quarterback came in and he still kind of ran the offense pretty good. He might not be as accurate as, Aaron is, but he still made some good throws and they still did a lot of good things.
You know, a lot of times as a third string guy, you don't anticipate that you're going to play. And sure enough, second string guy, Seneca gets hurt, he has to go out, and he was prepared. And for the most part, he did a good job. So you would expect him to play better the next week, knowing that he is a starter.
Now, the thing the Packers are talking about this week is that Tolzien did not panic. And, Roman, I think that says a lot about his football acumen.
Well, you mentioned his practice squad stint, San Diego, Norv Turner, San Francisco, Jim Harbaugh, good quarterback developers. And he ran some plays last week. You know, Giants fans should understand this. He ran some plays last week that he hadn't even practiced. So his football acumen is really sharp for a young player. So the Giants have to be prepared for arguably the best quarterback they've faced in the last 3 weeks.
You know what, Roman? One of the things that I know some of the other players said, and Carl, I address this to you, is that you got to cut off Lacy. This guy's a top 10 runner in the NFL this year. He's been averaging over 20 yards or 20 carries a game the last 5 weeks. Stop him. Put the pressure on the kid.
Well, what you have to do in stopping Lacy is not let him get going downhill. So it's going to be up to that front four to penetrate, get on the other side of the line of scrimmage before he gets ahead of steam going, because once he runs downhill, he's tough to bring down.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, in the last five games, Lacy is averaging 103 yards a game, 22 or more carries. Now, the last game against the Eagles, the first game, Paul, that they did not have 100 yards rushing as a team, but they're running the ball better than they have in years.
Yeah, and that's exactly the whole point, because that creates balance. And we see what balance has done for the Giants the last several weeks, too, Bob.
Yeah, all right. So now we go to the other side of the ball, Paul, and we put up our next item up on the board, item number four, and we kind of flip things the other way and take a look at the Giants' offense.
Yeah, well, in looking at this Giants' offense, we've talked about troubles in the red zone. That goes back to way before the bye week. But in discussing it with some of the players, they think there's no reason why the Giants can't score from anywhere on the field.
There are opportunities there. We have, you know, we have plays. The execution is good. It's just finish them. It's just making, you know, making that catch, or making a little bit better throw, or, you know, making that one extra block. You know, little things that can be done. It's just more of our execution has to be a little bit better. And we should be able to score more touchdowns.
Well, anytime you get the ball, you want to score it. But I think we have to do better in that regard. We have to do better if, no matter where we get in that red zone, we got to be able to put some touchdowns on the board. So that's definitely a point of emphasis for us, and we're trying to do better in that area.
Now, the Giants have only 18 touchdowns this season, tied for 28th in the NFL. Carl, that is not a good number, no matter how you cut it. The Packers, with an NFL low, only three picks this year. The Giants may hit some big plays this weekend.
Well, I think quarterback summed it up right. It may take that extra block, maybe a better pass, maybe a better catch. But that kind of sums up kind of the self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will, of why this team doesn't score in the red zone. They've got to execute all the way across the board, take nothing for granted.
Yeah, and Carl, I mean, what the Giants have demonstrated is that they score better from the field. I mean, they're confident to go downfield, but you get in that red zone, it becomes a lot tighter, and they just haven't been in sync. So hopefully with that balance, with the better running game, and trying to control these slugs up front, which is Don Capers' M.O., you've got to do something against these guys up front and then try to be more effective when you get closer to that goal line.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are averaging 9 points per game less than they were through nine games last year. I mean, the numbers are way down. But is there a risk as far as trying to hit the big play too early, forcing it, if that's not what's working for you?
Well, it's about how you go about getting to that big play. So if they're in their run formations, that's why I say they've got to find ways to operate. The receivers, the quarterback's arm doesn't get any worse. They've just got to figure out how to get the ball down the field out of some things that protect.
All right, Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to see you, Bob.
All right, that's Paul DeTino working the Giants locker room. Let's take a look at the schedule for First and 10 on the MSG Network of Families. Three airings of the show take place on Friday, and then airings on Saturday and Sunday, all getting you set for the Giants and Green Bay Packers this weekend. We talked about big plays for the Giants. Akeem Nicks leads the NFL in receiving yards without a touchdown. Will this be the week he gets that big play under his belt? He'll join us in studio on our player spotlight next as we return here on Giants First and 10 on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and Packers. Item number five, our player spotlight. When you think Giants and Packers and big plays, you think of one guy, Akeem Nicks.
Well, that moment, you know, in my head, as I was running down the field, I was fully confident that I was going to come down with that ball once Eli threw it. You know, I felt like, you know, Eli believed in me to throw it up there.
Manning back. one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary on the final play of the half.
You know, that's one of your biggest dreams. You know, as a kid, you always want to make that last second catch, you know, whether it's before a half or the end of the game. You know, once he threw it up there, you know, I felt like when I jumped, it was just me and the ball. And all I seen was the ball in the air, and I just went up and got it. Once I came down with it, it was one of the best feelings I could ever have. At that moment, we needed that in a crucial situation in the game, and my teammates were excited. Coaches was excited. Teammates celebrated with me on the field, leading off the field, up to the locker room, just telling me what a tremendous job, and it contributed to the second half to let us continue to do our job.
The New York Giants have eliminated the number one seed Green Bay Packers as they come to Lambeau Field and outplay Green Bay.
They're all in.
As they're headed back to the NFC Championship game.
And Akiem Nicks had 7 catches in that playoff game for 165 yards against the Packers in 4 career games against Green Bay. He has over 400 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns, and he joins us here on the program. Nice memories for you, huh, when you look back at that even now?
Yeah, great memories, man.
So when you see that Green Bay uniform coming into MetLife Stadium on Sunday, you got to feel fired up and pretty confident, right?
Yeah, always, especially with the history now that I have against them. It's always one that I get fired up for. I get fired up for every game, but, you know, this one has some history to it. So, you know, every time we see Green Bay, I always like to, you know, make a good impression.
So a lot has been said about the type of year you were having. You drop a ball and it seemed like it's in the spotlight, but you're leading receivers with yards without a touchdown. But I want to ask you, what's more important to a receiver, touchdowns, yards, or receptions?
Well, it's all important. You know, it's all important. But, you know, I think for me, for my game, so to speak, I think touchdowns, I've had games where I've had, you know, two straight games, and then I have 5 touchdowns in 2 games or something like that. So I look at touchdowns as those can come. You might have 3 straight weeks where you just get 2 straight touchdowns, and, you know, you got 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks. So,
right.
You know, I look at that like you can get touchdowns. It's up to you. But the yards, you know, I look at my yards. I like to have a lot of yards. Like, my goal, I always want to have over 1,000 yards each season. And, you know, I think that everything else will take care of itself. Right. Catches, you know, it's enough balls to go around. We got a deep receiving core. So I think we all just look at it like, you know, when the ball come our way, we're going to do what we do, make a big play.
You talk about the receiving core. You guys are still a relatively young group, I mean, and have had a lot of high success. Talk about that healthy competition amongst you, Cruz, Ruben Randall, I mean, in that receiver meeting room?
Man, I think our relationship, we have a good bond. In order for us to play together on the field, we have to develop that relationship off the field. You know, me and Cruz been developed our relationship. Ruben Randall's coming on strong, which we knew he would. And I think our relationship is just pretty good, man. We vibe together on the field and off the field. We like playing together.
So the offense has kind of evolved a little bit. It's a little more power running in that. As a receiver, are you saying I got to contribute more to the blocking if we're going to run, or just constantly stay available when we get pass plays called?
I think both. You know, yeah. I think both play a part. You know, they say the line block for first downs, receivers block for touchdowns, because it's that second level that they get to where, you know, the secondary is trying to stop them. And, you know, if we step up and, you know, make the blocks for them, that could spring them for touchdowns. So
this Green Bay Packers defense, I think, is 70% in the red zone, probably, you know, bottom of the league. Is this the game that you see, you know, having the breakout performance that I know you've been wanting all season?
Yeah, man. I approach every game. I practice hard, and, you know, I train to have a big game every week. But, you know, it really all depends on the schemes and coverages that you're getting. Right. To know what type of game that's going to be. You don't ever know that till the game get right here to see how they approach you. Because, you know, some team, you know, they're going to notice you out there and, you know, have, like, on certain downs, whether they don't W every play, they might have, you know, a double coming at you on third down, or, you know, try to put a vice on me and Cruz to take us out the third down package, or, you know, so it all really depends on, you know, I think that's what I've been facing this year. It's just I can't get the right coverages, and, you know, it ain't clicked yet, but it's coming.
Yeah.
Keem, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday. We look forward to seeing you play against the Packers.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
You got it. That's number 88, Giants wide receiver Keem Nicks joining us here on the program. When we come back, we're going to talk to you a little bit about linebacking in our Blitz segment as we continue with Giants First and 10 right here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Sunday, it's the Giants and Packers. Still to come on the program, I'm going to tell you about Giants defensive chemistry. You don't want to miss that. Also, Carl Banks will have strategy. And in our online segment, Tom Rock of Newsday, Tara Sullivan of The Record, and Pat Hanlon will join us on set to discuss various issues concerning the Giants. But we shift gears now, put up on the board item number 6. It's the Blitz as we welcome in Anita Marks. Anita?
Hi. Ready to rock and roll?
Let's
do it.
All right, here we go. Question number 1. As we know, the Packers have one of the premier outside linebackers in the NFL in Clay Matthews. And, of course, the Giants know a little something about linebackers. Right, gentlemen?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. So what inherent traits do quality outside linebackers have, and how has that position evolved? A minute on the clock. Discuss.
Well, I think it's started with Lawrence Taylor way back in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the inherent trait is you have to be relentless and not be denied. You know, if you're just out there playing around, I mean, you're just another outside linebacker. But you have to really be relentless.
Relentless?
And, yeah. Relentless. I always say you got to be willing to break glass, you know, to get there, get to the other side. And that's what the great ones do. And I don't know if it's evolved beyond what we've seen with Lawrence Taylor, because he was the guy who kind of revolutionized position, and everyone's still striving, but different forms of it.
Let me ask you guys this about the outside linebacker position. Is it different in the 3-4 and the 4-3?
3-4, you stand up all the time. 4-3, sometimes they'll stand a guy up as an outside linebacker, and they stack them sometimes, which I don't think they're outside linebackers then.
Yeah.
For me, it really is
just about the player, you know, just stepping up. Whether it's a 4-3 or 3-4, it's about.
And the buzzer has gone off, Harry. I'm
sorry. I didn't know I was on the buzzer.
Yeah, you're on the buzzer. That's kind of my fault. Because
it always ends on you,
Bob.
Here we go. Question number 2. The Giants defense deserves, let's face it, really the majority of the credit for turning the season around. Defensive players have talked about simplifying the defense that it's happened, as well as a new attitude. So here's your question. Give a percentage breakdown of the importance of either X's and O's or swagger. A minute back on the board, discuss.
I would say 90-10. X's and O's it really comes down to, because if you can do those, you'll have the swagger and you can be what you want to be.
Yeah, when you step on the field, you got to know your assignment and be able to fulfill it. But I think you really have to just go out and play and not think too much. Defense is one of those positions that you can't really spend a whole lot of time thinking, because if you think, then you're lost. And you have to be able to execute and just play to your ability.
All right, I got a quick question again, Phil. Probably make you guys go over, but you guys both played for Bill Belichick. Yep. Obviously, the Giants went and they talked with Perry Fuel about things they wanted to get changed. How important is it for a defensive coordinator to listen to his players?
I'd say that's the number one trait, because the players are there. You want to simplify it and put them in the best positions to do what they do well.
And, you know, one of the great things about Belichick is, and also Parcells, they did not put you in situations that you could not handle. And so, you know, they talked with the players. They knew what the players could do, and they knew what they could not do.
Harry, once again, I'm sorry.
I
hate to cut you off. Here we go. Last question. Terrell Thomas, T2, coming off an NFC Defensive Player of the Week award pre-bye week, of course. As we know, 3 ACL injuries repaired. Has a great season right now. Does Terrell Thomas have a case for NFL Comeback Player of the Year? One more minute on the clock.
I'm going to start first. Yes.
Oh, that's it.
He doesn't want to go over.
Clear case.
So what you don't get buzzed.
I think he's has to be one of the front runners. He definitely deserves it.
Yeah, Jameel McClain of the Baltimore Ravens, who I had a chance to talk with a couple of weeks ago, he's another guy that came back from that neck injury and thought he could never play again. The doctors told him,
you're never going to play football again. And he's been able to come all the way back from that spinal cord injury and play again. I don't know if Terrell Suggs necessarily fits because he came back last year and played a little bit. But I think Terrell Thomas is a live wire
for
this.
But like three ACL reconstruction, and at that position of corner, and in the way that he's defending wide receivers, I mean, I agree with you.
All right.
I'm getting in on the blitz.
All right. Anita, good stuff. We'll do it again next week. That's Anita Marks joining us here on the program with the blitz. When we come back here on the program, you don't want to miss. Our microphones take you into the Giants' defensive side of the ball. Plus, Carl has strategy as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG after this.
You were laying on that hose, you pillow.
That's it.
You know what it was.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Sunday, it's the Giants and Packers at MetLife Stadium. All right, we put item number 7 up on the board. The Giants defense has not given up a touchdown in the second half of a game over the last 4 games. They have been absolutely dominant, choking off the run, shutting down the opposition's passing game. So what we did was we took our microphones and cameras and give you a little flavor of what it's like on that Giants bench within the framework of that big blue D.
I'm ready to play tonight. Let's go out here and give 100%.
We got to fight with our heart.
Ain't too much left to be said. The game comes to us, man.
They don't like us. We don't really like them.
Takes the snap. Giants bring 4. Throws one left. Deflected and intercepted. Romo's under pressure. And he's going to get sacked back at the 15 by JPP. Looks left quickly. Throws it. Intercepted. He threw it right to Prince Amukamara.
Way to make play, man. We need from you, man.
Hey,
we need to make a play, man.
Oh, that'd be 9-0 on the ball today. Hey, just leave me some. Just leave me a little bit.
Being chased, and now he's going to get sacked. He fumbles the football. It's loose. And did the Giants get it?
Yeah. I told you I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
That's you, boy.
Yes, sir.
I love your competitiveness, baby. Nice job, Blue. That's the way to work.
I'm telling you, they're going to get if they can't run the ball, you'll get frustrated. Keep stopping the run. We'll get home.
Under pressure. Chased and sacked by Tuck at the 32-yard line.
Let's play ball, boys.
Yeah.
Let's
go. Keep fighting.
Blunt to his right is under pressure and sacked by Roll. Back at the 10-yard line. Ball is loose.
Hey, you were laying on that hose, you pillow.
That's it.
That's Pumps. Had plenty of time. Now throws it over the middle. Intercepted. Sliding, diving interception.
So you just going to try to get player of the week? Is that what you're doing?
Trying to go.
Is that what you're doing, man?
That's what I'm talking about.
Takes the snap. Zips one. Right. Intercepted by the Giants. Terrell Thomas.
Where am I? They said 4-4. I ain't got that no more.
He's back to throw. He's under pressure. He gets sacked and fumbles the football. Recovered by the Giants at the 45.
Giants Kiwanuka.
Everybody easy. Double. Everybody easy.
Y'all dominate. I love it.
Outstanding job. Outstanding win for our team. A battle, no doubt. We knew it would be. Defense, great job.
Great job.
Well, in the last 3 games, the Giants' defense is allowing a league-low 11 points per game, just over 206 yards per game, and only 148 yards passing per game. And, Harry, there seems to be this bond. How important is it for that camaraderie that we saw in that piece?
Well, it's important for everybody to be on the same page, but also be excited for one another. And when you go out there, it exudes confidence in one another. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you enjoy seeing from a defensive team, guys all fired up, ready to go out and play.
Defensive guys look like they have a lot of fun.
Well, they do because they play for each other. And you can tell when it's going well, the front end of the defense, the middle and the back, they're all one big group, all looking forward to making a contribution for each other.
Roman, on the flip side, I mean, your experience as an offensive player, it seems that when the offense gets over on the sideline, it's a lot more analytical.
Yeah, it is. It's calmed down. It's never as bad as you think it is. It's never as good as you think. You're always analyzing what could have done better, but for an offense, it's good to sit on that bench and watch how hard defense is playing. I mean, this defense is taken upon themselves to really lead this team. Antrell Roll has been consistent. Tuck is playing better. The D-line is playing better. And B's in addition has been tremendous. So you hope that offense can start to catch up and play the way they were capable of playing when the season started.
Yeah, but as a defensive player, what you want to do is you want to feel that fire. And you want that fire to sort of spread amongst everybody on that defense. And hopefully it will spread to the offense to get fired up.
Yeah, that emotion. And it's really kind of coming through. The defensive guys are showing that emotion. And it feels like this whole team is playing much more impassioned football. So that's a look at a behind-the-scenes look at the Giants' defense and that camaraderie that exists. All right, now it's time for the X's and O's, how the Giants and Packers are going to square off this weekend. No better man to do that than Carl Banks with strategy.
Let's take a look at the Green Bay Packers' third-down defense. Now, it's very important when you read blitz, and Green Bay has a lot of guys in the box here. So the key, number one, is getting it picked up. And then second is proper execution with wide receiver and quarterback. When you get a blitz picked up, it's very important that the receiver runs the right route and the quarterback throws the ball on timing. Here the quarterback throws a late ball. It's intercepted. Run it back again. I'll slow it down. The blitz is picked up. There's the blitz. Receiver runs an outside route to the sideline. Quarterback throws the ball slightly inside, and it gets picked off. So the key is crisp route running and proper execution between quarterback and wide receiver. All right, now on offense, you have to be aware because the Green Bay Packers passing game, it's all about timing. So you'll see a lot of directional and diagonal routes. And the key is do not leave the open window. When I talk about a window, if you're in pass coverage, you can't vacate a window once a guy goes by you. Understanding if you've got two receivers, one, two, outside of you, there's a good chance that both of those guys could be coming to the same area. Let's take here, we call this a diagonal double slant. There's your diagonal here. There's one slant, two slants. Got to get in the window there. So it's key for the second-level defenders, the linebackers and defensive backs. If your responsibility is to get out and cover that window, don't vacate it when a guy pulls you the other way.
Strategy, item number 8, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, you don't want to miss our online segment. We're going to be joined by Tom Rock of Newsday and Tara Sullivan of The Record. Let's take a look at Giants programming coming up in the next week. Obviously, Giant First and 10 comes your way every Friday night. That's when it makes its debut. Saturday nights, tune into My 9 for Giants Access Blue. Make sure on Sunday mornings at MSG to check out Giants Chronicles. This week, we'll look at the history of the Giants defensive backs. After the game, Giants postgame show immediately following the game right on My 9. And then you've got Giants Rewind on MSG and press conference live every Wednesday. Still to come, Giants Online as we continue with Giants First and 10 right here on MSG.
Everybody had an attitude about it. You know, we ran the power, and those are good plays that finish a game. And, you know, smash my football, and we just finished the game on that note. It's a good thing.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. On Sunday, it's the Giants and the Green Bay Packers, and it's time for our online segment, item number 9, up on the board. And to moderate this conversation, the Senior VP of Communications, Pat Hanlon.
When did I become the moderator?
You are
the moderator.
You are. You're moderating.
All right. We're taking it one shovel full at a time to get out of this hole.
Well, 3-6, trying to get to 4-6. Tom Rock covers the Giants for Newsday. And, Tom, are you a believer at this point?
Well, I know I haven't been on the show since they started winning. So now that I'm back, we'll see if I can keep it going.
This may be your last appearance.
This could be determining my television future here.
Joining us from The Record, Tara Sullivan. Are you buying?
I'm buying one shovel full at a time.
Thank you.
Go much beyond that.
I'll tell you, a guy who got more than just a shovel full, who we heard from coming back from the commercial break there, Andre Brown, what a lift he gave this Giant running game.
Really tremendous effort by him. And you know, Tom joked during the week about giving him 40 carries.
I thought he was joking when he said that, by the way.
I think
he thought he was joking.
I think he was joking until Peyton Hillis fumbled that ball, because then all of a sudden Andre Brown became the only guy he could count on in that backfield.
And he really, I mean, he took that, to use a cliche, took it and ran with it, didn't he? I mean, and he joked afterward it felt like 50. And I'm sure he's been sore this entire week, but the Giants really needed a rushing effort like that. And he ran angry. You know, it's something they just have not had a lot this season, and it was refreshing as they go forward.
And what he can do, too, is what Brandon Jacobs wasn't able to do after Chicago, is come back and do it again, or at least try to do it again against the Packers, because Jacobs got banged up, and they basically ran him into the ground in that game.
Well, you know, the previous two games, we had run the ball in excess of 30 times each of those games, and had not, we weren't getting the production out of it. Finally, we had something to show for the effort.
All right, so one thing that ties into this running game is the fact that they still don't have a run of 20 or more yards. They're the only team in the league that does not have that. Andre Brown had 3 last year. And in the passing game, they're last in the NFL in pass plays of 30 or more yards. They only have 8. Last year through 9 games, they had 15. Where has the big play gone in the Giants' offense?
Well, all 8 of those came during the dark ages, the 0-6 stretch, when they were chucking the ball down the field. I think they could curtailed the offense a little bit, maybe a bit to take the pressure off of Eli and start making some smarter decisions, some shorter decisions. Obviously, the turnovers have gone down, the wins have gone up, and the big plays have gone away. But I think they need to get back to that if they're going to continue
to
win these games.
In getting back to winning some games, the Giants have found a few of the things that were really missing early on: a pass rush, a running game. The offensive line is playing better. Eli's not throwing as many interceptions. You've seen a lot of bad things start getting fixed. The big play is the one we really haven't seen made its comeback yet, and I think it's the one they can still do. I mean, Victor Cruz has been open on some of those big plays. Maybe they just haven't connected. So I do think that's the one thing they would love to still see make its way back onto the field.
The establishment of the running game is going to create more and better big play opportunities. And Hakeem Nicks looks like he's this close to getting completely on track. And as Tara said, you know, Cruz is out there. We just need to get it to him.
Tara brought up an interesting point, the pass rush. I mean, this is a team that couldn't sack the quarterback, and now in the last two games they've recorded 8 sacks against the quarterback. What's been the difference in your opinions?
Well, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint one thing, except guys just look a little fresher. I think they've mixed things up a little bit more. You see Justin Tuck really, to me, is a big key in that group, because when he gets going, things open up for a lot of other guys. I think the status of JPP, he really started to look like himself these past 2 weeks, and I don't know physically where he stands, but...
Right. I think part of it has to do with, a lot of it has to do with the secondary, too, and this defense has sort of inverted on itself. It used to be what they relied on the pass rushers to get there, and then the secondary were just there to make plays. Now it seems like you have guys like Thomas back there. You have guys like Roll back there, Will Hill, Ryan Mundy. They're in the back, and they're allowing the pass rush to get going and cover a little bit longer. Who knew that the secondary would be such a strength of this team without Corey Webster for most of the year, without Aaron Ross for most of the year, and a guy named Trumaine McBride, who was the even in football last year as your starting cornerback?
Yeah, of all the plays, I was going to say from Sunday's game, as much as Andre Brown was the MVP, it might have been the Thomas pick that really sealed that game. Like Tom said, they're coming up with some big plays that's allowing for some other good things to happen.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the impact that John Beeson has made on the defense, how Antrell Roll has played well all year and has sped off of Beeson's arrival. Terrell Thomas, you're not going to find a smarter football player than Terrell Thomas. And the fact that he has now got his legs back underneath him is a huge, huge difference in the secondary.
Two great stories, those two guys, him and Brown, with all the injuries they've come back from.
And just to follow up on Tom's point quickly, Tom, you talked about the secondary. You know, if you think about Mathias Kiwanuka's sack and forced fumble at the end of the game last week, that's because the coverage was tremendous. All right, your prediction for Sunday's game against the Packers.
How could you go against the Giants now? They're on a roll. Come on.
Don't get crazy.
I mean, Scott Tolzien crazy? Come on. The Giants are going to win this one. They're going to have at least one big play over the top. They always do against the Packers. I think it's going to be about 24-10.
Sarah? Yeah, I think I'll give that big play to Nix. I remember a couple of good ones in the playoffs from him. So I was thinking I'll give them a few more points, maybe a 24-17 Giants.
All right. There we go, Patty. Moderate.
So that's how you moderate a conversation.
Well done.
Okay.
We thank Tom Rock, Tara Sullivan, Pat Hanlon. When we come back here on the program, our final number that you need to know, keys to the game as we continue with Giants first and 10 right here on MSG.
In a row, we keep the dream alive.
The buzzer has gone off, Harry. I'm
I didn't
sorry,
know I was on a buzzer.
You know, they say the line block for first downs, receivers block for touchdowns.
Taking it one shovel full at a time to get out of this hole.
I'm buying one shovel full at a time.
Thank you.
And that was our Geico recap. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Go to Geico.com. All right, time to put item number 10 up on the board, the much-anticipated keys to the game. And, Harry, we start with you.
Well, I think for the Giants to win this week, they really have to establish a strong rush from the beginning of the game, get the running game going with Hillis and Andre Brown. Thank God for Andre Brown coming back. And they have to have a good, strong rush on the quarterback. But most importantly, no turnovers in this game.
Yeah, they've curbed the turnovers down, you know, from what they had at the start of the year. But still, I mean, they have five turnovers in their last three games.
Yeah, they were giving the ball away last week.
It's not like they've eliminated that completely. All right, Carl, your keys to this game.
Well, I think, make no mistake about it, the spotlight is shining bright on the special teams. It has clearly become a liability, dare I say that. But each game, there is something that goes wrong with special teams. McCarthy's going to say, hey, look, without our quarterback, we got to find plays throughout the course of the game. He's going to look at the Giants' special teams failures and try to exploit it.
Yeah, the Giants have allowed three punt returns for touchdowns this year, which is the most since 1959. And one of the fumble returns for touchdowns came when the punt team was on the field and the ball in Philadelphia snapped over Weatherford's head. All right, Roman, your keys to the game.
Well, I think the defense has to start fast. I mean, defense has taken upon itself to really lead the charge of this football team. And you've got a third-string quarterback who's starting. You've got to make that guy uncomfortable and don't give him the ability to believe that he can get it done for his Packers on Sunday.
All right. It's going to be interesting to see how the Giants deal with some of the adversity that Green Bay will bring to the table, like the fact that they can run the football. They don't have Aaron Rodgers. They rally around the young quarterback. It all unfolds at MetLife Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Well, we are just about out of time here on the program. Gentlemen, enjoy the game. For Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Roman Obenout Protector, I'm Bob Pop. We hope that you've gotten set for the Giants and Packers, the 10 things that you need to know. We break it down for you each and every week right here on MSG. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Pop. We'll see you again next week for another edition of Giants First and 10. Enjoy your football, everybody.